From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. Jackson Memorial Hospital turns 100 years old this year. For most of the first half of its history, the hospital was segregated. First, no black patients were allowed unless it was a dire emergency. Later, black and white patients were treated separately. Now Jackson is partnering with the Black Archives on a collection at the historic Lyric Theater in Overtown, examining the evolution of black health care in Miami. And as Health News Florida's Sammy Mack explains, the exhibit begins with a mystery.
There's a timeline along the wall of the Black Healthcare exhibit that looks like an EKG. The first beat of it belongs to Miami's first black doctor, Dr. Rivers.
And so it starts with Dr. Rivers, and we still haven't gotten his first name yet.
Dr. Dorothy Jenkins Fields is founder of the Black Archives and still looking for Dr. Rivers' first name. Dr. Rivers arrives in Miami in 1896. Flagler's Railroad is unfurling south. Laborers pin the track into coral rock, carving a steel and wood vein in the sand. It's brutal work, done in large part by conscripted African-American and Black Caribbean labor. Historians believe that Dr. Rivers was recruited to treat black rail workers, just as that same year, Dr. James M. Jackson was hired by the railroad company to treat white workers. American history being what it is, the white Dr. Jackson went on to become the founder and namesake for Jackson Health System, and Dr. Rivers' first name became a mystery. Which brings us to the collection of photographs, newspaper clippings, and other artifacts now on display at the historic Lyric Theater in Overtown. One of the people who contributed to the collection, and whose photograph is featured on one wall, is Dr. George Simpson.
I was thinking of the old West African proverb, "Until the lion tells his tale, the story of the hunt will always glorify the hunter." So I became part of, in my mind, part of the lion's tale.
1958, Dr. Simpson made a name for himself as the first black board-certified general surgeon in the state of Florida. A couple of years later, he became the first black general surgeon at Jackson.
First is fine, but only used to bother me.
Before the civil rights movement, black doctors and their patients weren't allowed into white doctors' offices and hospitals. Jackson didn't open its first segregated maternity ward until 1953. Dr. Simpson says the stigma of segregation affected how white and black people saw him.
Because having no other images in the community to model after, black physicians, in a way, had to prove to their own people that they could do whatever the white physicians could do.
So Dr. Simpson fought to create opportunities for his patients and his peers. He became a leader in the local civil rights movement. He integrated lunch counters, including the hospital cafeteria. And he learned nonviolent resistance from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself when Dr. King visited Miami's black churches. Carol Davis Henley Byrd worked on the black healthcare exhibit, and her father was a dentist in segregated Miami.
One of the things that you'll find out in the black community, because they did not have a fear of losing jobs, is that your clergymen and your doctors, dentists, physicians, you name it,
they didn't have to answer to a white boss.
They were the ones who were in the forefront of the civil rights movement.
Davis Henley Byrd's father helped convince the Miami Police Department to enlist its first black patrolman. They held roll call in the back of the dental office. There's a space in the exhibit set up like a waiting room that pays homage to Miami's pioneering black pharmacists. Bernadette Portier's father was one of those pharmacists.
Even though some pharmacists did not have a doctoral degree, they were referred to as a doctor. Many people could not afford to go to a doctor. Pharmacists became their doctors.
At the back of the exhibit, there's a picture of Dr. Samuel Johnson. He was the uncle of the Black Archives' own Dr. Dorothy Fields. At some point in the 1930s, he had a patient, a black patient, with a broken kneecap, who he brought to Jackson. It took a day to get the patient in for an x-ray. Dr. Johnson had to wait outside.
And then once they did the x-rays, he asked to see them. He said, "No, we'll mail them to you."
He and his patient waited a week. Dr. Johnson vowed to open his own radiology clinic, which he did in 1938. The exhibit is on display at the historic Lyric Theater in Overtown through June 29th. For Health News Florida, I'm Sammy Mack in Miami.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMatte.